Welcome back to the Disciple Makers podcast. Today we are joined by Brian Roberg and are talking about social media. With more and more of our social interaction happening online these days, it is important for us to consider how we interact with the different social media platforms that we use to communicate with others. Why are we doing it? What do we hope to get out of these interactions? And most importantly, what do we want others to take away? We talked about these questions in the course of our conversation with Brian and also considered the motives of the companies that run social media platforms. Towards the end of the episode, we also explored the exciting opportunities we have this fall to meet new students on campus through social media and invite them into our fellowships. So join us as we discuss these things and more with Brian on the Disciple Makers podcast. All right, welcome back to the podcast, everybody. My name is Caleb Olszewski, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Sarah Evans.
Hello, hello.
Today, we are joined by Brian Roberg. We had Karen on last week, and so it's great to have the full couple set. Brian works with me in Disciple Makers headquarters. He's our director of communications for Disciple Makers, and he's thought a lot about media and communication, even from an academic perspective, getting a master's in strategic communication a few years ago. And he's led a number of workshops on social media and internet media and like all these types of ideas at our fall conferences for the past few years. And so we're excited to have him on to talk about this topic today that surrounds us everywhere, social media. So thanks for being with us, Brian.
Thanks for having me.
So today we're digging into this topic of social media, and I'd love to just start off by you, Brian, sharing with us like what's so exciting about studying communication in general for you, and what gets you excited about talking about this topic of social media and how we can steward it well for God's kingdom.
Well, my entrance into studying communication was really practically motivated. As you mentioned, I serve in Disciple Makers leading our communications efforts. And as an undergrad, I didn't study that in particular, and I hadn't gotten any formal training, but I found myself in this role of guiding disciple makers in our different forms of media-based communication. So as you mentioned, a few years ago, I went to grad school to study communications, and the program I did was a very practically oriented program. It was for people who are doing communications. It was not particularly academic. But I did have one professor who mentioned in the course of a lecture, he mentioned a book about the history of the idea of communication, which was a fascinating concept, the idea of communication. So I went and read that, and that was my entrance into the rabbit hole of media theory. And so I've carried on some reading and thinking alongside the more practical responsibilities that I have. And that has led me to think about things like social media and to bring the scriptures to bear on the decisions we make in Disciple Makers and even in our own personal lives of how we engage on social media.
Yeah, thanks for walking us through that, Brian. That's exciting. And it is interesting that there's even a theory of communication. We think we do it very naturally, but there's actually a lot that goes into it. So today we're talking about social media, internet-based media, et cetera. And as you think about stewarding and using our social media wisely, what scriptures come to your mind?
The first scripture that comes to my mind is the second chapter of Philippians, which is probably one of the clearest texts that talk about our calling to put others' interests ahead of our own. Of course, with Christ as our example of how he, who was in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself a man and died on the cross for us. And so we, just like he put others ahead of himself, we are to live our lives in the service of other people, that we reflect Christ in his nature when we humble ourselves and consider others as more important than ourselves. So that's the entrance point into lots of different areas of life. But in the area of communication, I think it's important to start with that idea that we are called to serve others, to love God and to love our neighbor. There's a tendency in all kinds of communication, and maybe this happens especially with the forms of communication that are most popular or most exciting at any given time in history, that we tend to put the cart before the horse, if you will. We start with the medium, and then we go from there to start thinking about, well, how can we use this to accomplish certain things? But I think if we look at that Philippians passage and we remember the call to love our neighbor as a fundamental requirement, we should start instead with thinking about people. Who are the people in our lives? Who are the people in our circles of influence? And then think about how can we minister to those people? How can we care for them? And perhaps that will lead us to thinking about how to do so on social media, but maybe it'll lead us to thinking about other ways to care for people.
That's great. So yeah, I love what you're saying. It starts with our mission, right? It starts what we're called to. Even, you know, if we were to start with the Great Commission, we're called to go and make disciples of all nations. And so the question is, well, how do we do that? And can something like social media help us in that mission? And so I love this idea that we start with the mission and the vision, and then we move towards different types of communication based off of their effectiveness to completing said mission. So as we actually start to engage on those platforms and things, are there further scriptures we should consider in terms of how we would actually start to engage through these different mediums of communication?
I think there's a lot of ways that we can bring scripture to bear as we think about how to engage on social media. And once we get practical, I think the Proverbs speak so much to how we engage with others on social media. How can we can be wise in how we care for others and how we communicate with others? If you look at Proverbs, it speaks about communication in lots of different places. There seems to be a concentration of them in the chapter 18 of Proverbs, which includes a few verses that are clearly applicable to social media. In fact, not long ago when Dan Miller was on the podcast talking about listening, he mentioned at least a couple of these as principles to live out in ministering to others on social media. Proverbs 18:2 says, "A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion." Verse 13 of that chapter, "If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and his shame." And these principles point us to the fact that our human nature is not one that naturally demonstrates wisdom and love for our neighbor. And so I think that's one thing we can take from, especially the wisdom principles of Proverbs. We can take a principle of caution and careful engagement into how we think about social media and communication generally, and then in particular, how we interact with others.
And I like what you're saying there, Brian, and I'm gonna say it again because I think it's a very important concept. Anything in the scripture that has to do with communication applies to our social media. Is that what you're saying, that there's not a separate category here?
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, the scriptures don't speak specifically about 21st century social media platforms, but they do speak about communication and about how we interact with others and our call to love our neighbor.
Yeah. And that's just so helpful. And those Proverbs you read, yeah, they absolutely seem so relevant to social media. This morning, as I was preparing, I was reading through 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, and these are letters that Paul has written to these young men that he's been discipling. And a lot of the emphasis in the letters is on sound doctrine, but I was struck this morning that of those three books, I think every chapter, except maybe one or two, has something that has to do with speech and communication, that it is a repeated theme in these books. And when you read verses like something that he's warning them away from, he talks about someone who is not teaching sound doctrine has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy and dissension and slander and suspicions. And so over and over again, he's telling them, avoid irreverent babble, avoid foolish controversies. But at the same time, he's telling them to engage, because then also in 2 Timothy 2, he talks about the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome. He says, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. And in 1 Timothy 4, he tells Timothy, even though you're young, you know, let no one despise your youth, but set for the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And so I never realized before how much in 1 and 2 Timothy and in Titus talks about, you know, avoiding the controversy and not getting sucked into the silly arguments, and yet not completely abandoning it, entering in with gentle speech, with firm speech, with sound speech, and to really set the example. So I think that I've just been very encouraged this morning, realizing there's actually a lot in the scriptures that have to do with our speech. I don't know, Caleb, would you add anything to that and things that you've been looking at?
Yeah, I mean, I think an idea that we were talking about before we hit record here was this idea of that when we engage with social media, our maybe knee jerks is either to maybe abuse it or abandon it. So sometimes we can fall off on the side of we're not super wise with our speech on social media. We do get sucked into controversies, or we just spend so much time on it that it like wastes our time and we're, you know, just filling our lives away with scrolling through Instagram. And so then we're like, all right, I'm going to go delete it and like get away from it. And I think that type of thinking is around kind of what you were talking about, Brian, of like, if we think about the platform or the medium first, those are the kind of thoughts that can surround us. Whereas if we back up and start to consider who are we trying to reach, who are we trying to connect with, who are we trying to encourage or help through a platform, then all those questions will kind of be sorted out a little bit easier for us. But in thinking about those tendencies, I was also thinking of Titus in particular, Titus 2, where he gives instructions to older men, older women, younger men, younger women, and particularly for the younger men and younger women, who I would fall into that category as a 27-year-old, I'm sure our students would as college students. One of the main repeated things between the young men and young women is self-control. And so this idea, especially in terms of the abandonment, it could be helpful for us to step back from social media for a season if we do not have the self-control to use it in such a way that we could be intentional with it, but that having self-control enables us to intentionally engage with these mediums and use them for what they're good for and not use them for, you know, maybe what might be unhelpful.
Yeah, maybe that's where we could go next, to think about what are both the opportunities and the obstacles that social media create, Brian.
Yeah, social media does present some great opportunities to minister to other people, but engaging naively with social media will make our efforts either less productive or even counterproductive. So yeah, the opportunities, I mean, fundamentally, social media is a fantastic opportunity to form connections that couldn't happen otherwise. There have been, throughout history, lots of different ways of communication between people. Social media is the furthest extent of all the forms of communication in terms of reaching a broad audience and forming new connections with people that we wouldn't otherwise connect with. That's what's been revolutionary about social media and why it was heralded as it became more prevalent, because it gives a voice to people who maybe didn't have a voice otherwise. It allows us to keep in touch with people from our past that we don't see every day anymore. And it allows us to make new connections with people we haven't perhaps met yet. It's low cost in that it allows us to hear from a whole lot of people who are in our lives without a great deal of effort on our own part. And it allows us to fairly frictionless way to share about our lives with other people. And all of that, there's a great potential for a lot of good, for forming and strengthening relationships. And all of those things are great opportunities. Now, at the same time, there are challenges that social media presents. If our fundamental purpose, as we've said, based on principles like from Philippians 2 to put others' interests ahead of our own. And actually, I'll mention another fairly basic principle that comes right from Genesis, the creation, that people are made in the image of God. That is a fundamental fact about every person in the world, that we're made in God's image, and so we have dignity and honor because we're made in the image of God. Now, it has long been observed, not just about social media, but about other forms of media before it, that when communication happens, especially electronically, there is a tendency to depersonalize, or even at times to dehumanize people that we encounter in such media. And of course, people have said this about social media too, that how easy it is to be dismissive of ideas that we encounter. Or the fact that people would say something in a comment in social media that they would never say in person. So that's just a way of observing that there's an effect of the medium that makes it easier to disregard the personhood of those we interact with. Now, this observation points at a broader observation about social media and indeed about media generally. And it's important to recognize that social media has not been put into our lives for the purpose that we have just said we want to use social media. We're saying that we should use social media in order to care for others, to minister to others, and to put others' interests ahead of our own. That is not why Facebook provides Facebook and Instagram as a service, or why Twitter has its service, or why YouTube runs its video sharing service. Now, it may sound a little cynical to say it, but those platforms exist to make money for the companies that run them. That's just a basic fact of why they exist. So in order to avoid being naive about our engagement with social media, we just need to remember that if we have the purpose of ministering to others through social media, we're going to be going against the prevailing purpose of those platforms. We're going to be swimming upstream, if you will.
Yeah, I think that's good to point out, Brian, because Jesus's mission, clearly stated all throughout Scripture, is to make a kingdom for himself from every tribe, tongue, nation, etc. But social media's mission is actually often the opposite. It makes the most money and generates the most attention when it creates tiny little camps and divisions and sides. So I think that's just helpful to realize. And I like what you're saying. That doesn't mean there's not opportunities. That doesn't mean that it itself is inherently evil. But just to realize that really the Jesus's mission and, you know, tech gurus' missions are just different.
Yeah, and it just helps us as we start to consider not just our motives, but the motives of those that are creating these platforms. Because we've already sort of been talking about our motives, like what should our motive be as we engage with social media? I think often if we just are on autopilot, our motives might be, I just want to be entertained, or I want to just see what other people are up to or whatever. And connecting with people in and of itself is not a bad motive. But as we're saying, our motive should be that we want to care for people. We want to love our neighbor. We want to put others' interests ahead of our own. But then, yeah, considering the motives on the other end of the spectrum, where what are the motives of advertisers on these platforms? What are motives of the platforms themselves? Can be really helpful for us as we consider how we should engage with them and how we should kind of guard ourselves in those areas.
Well, and to realize even as we talk about what should our motive be, you know, how even going back to Brian mentioning Genesis 1, that everyone is made in the image of God, you know, and also humans are called to rule, subdue, and produce everything in their life to the glory of God. And that gets picked up again in that concept in 1 Corinthians 10, where Paul says, whatever you do, eating or drinking, et cetera, do it all for the glory of God. And so just realizing that social media falls under that umbrella of everything, that this is something that we need to be consciously submitting to the glory of the Lord, which is different than how it exists, because suddenly you do have a platform where you can create, I mean, in some ways, whoever you want to be. You know, I think we should even sometimes, Brian and I, you've talked about this with me, even just being suspicious sometimes, not in a bad way, but what we put out there is a very curated version of ourselves, and we do it and other people are doing it. And so we should, even being aware of that, that this platform can really be created to worship ourselves in a way that, I don't think it's unique, but it's there. And so as we consider, there's probably all sorts of diagnostic questions that we could ask ourselves considering our social media use. But what are just a few questions that we can be asking ourselves, almost self-examination, to wisely use our social media? And I imagine we can flesh these out with examples, scriptures, et cetera. What are some good questions to ask ourselves?
I would say the first question we should ask ourselves in evaluating our use of social media is to evaluate our hearts and our motivation. What is it that draws me to use social media? What is it that I'm looking to gain from it or accomplish with it? And this is an important question to ask because it's easy to underestimate the challenge that we face in using any medium, including social media, for a kingdom purpose. And this goes back to what we were saying earlier about how the purpose for which these platforms are made by the companies that run them is different from the purpose that we're trying to put forward of caring for others and building God's kingdom. And I think it's worth actually taking a closer look at what does drive how the social media platforms work, because that will help us in understanding how we will tend to interact with those platforms. There's an illustration I think of from the Harry Potter series, where in the second book, a wizard, in speaking of a magical object, he gives a warning saying, "Don't trust anything that thinks for itself if you can't see where it keeps its brain." And a way we can see where social media keeps its brain is in just understanding the business model of social media. And I've talked about this in Sunday school classes, and yes, it sounds very mundane and not spiritual at all, but I think it's worth looking at, because social media are advertising-based platforms. That's their business model. They make money not by helping us form relationships with people, but by selling advertising. And that has implications for how those platforms work. So they make more money when they get more ad impressions. They get more ad impressions by keeping us on the platform. So there's a lot of smart people who work at Facebook and Google and Twitter who have put a lot of time into figuring out how to make the platform work to keep us scrolling, to keep us tapping and liking and commenting. And again, I'm not saying that it's wrong of those companies to have a profit motive, but we have to remember that their motive is not aligned with our motive. And so that's why I'm saying to consider our own motivations. If we're not being fairly conscious of our purpose being to care for other people, to listen, to understand, so that we can love others better, we're going to end up, instead of swimming upstream, we're going to end up just floating along with the current, spending more time on the app than maybe we meant to, perhaps getting drawn into quarrels or arguments. And that happens not by accident, but by design, because that's what's in the interest of those who run the platforms.
Yeah, so this idea that you're talking about is almost like, yeah, am I just a consumer of the platform and just kind of letting it take me where I want, or am I maybe a participant, or I might even say like an engager, or someone that's just trying to like use the platform to influence people in a way that is positive, in a way that is truly caring for them and helpful in building God's kingdom.
Yeah, And it sounds like even, Brian, what you're saying, that, I mean, it sounds like the verse I'd read earlier from 1 Timothy, that by design, are we being drawn, having an unhealthy craving for controversy? You know, is that could be a motivation. And honestly, I've been there before. There's been times when I'm like, I just want to see what's up today. And that actually really does play into what makes the company's money and what they actually want. Is that kind of accurate?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah. So now we're sort of understanding what are the model, what is it designed to do? But one of my favorite verses in scripture is when Joseph says to his brothers at the end of Genesis, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. And we see that our Lord does like spiritual jujitsu. You know, jujitsu is a martial art where you use your opponent's strength against them. But the Lord does that all the time. So as we're asking diagnostic questions of ourselves, how can we turn something for good and for redemptive purposes?
That's a great question. I think we can best answer it by going back to something we said earlier, that we want to start with the person. We want to keep in mind the interests of either some specific person sometimes or a group of people that we might want to care for. And so that means that our engagement on social media, we shouldn't think of it as such. And Caleb, a minute ago, you mentioned the idea of the difference between being a consumer and being an engaged participant. I think that's a really important contrast to bring out, because the reality is, this is just another implication of the way the medium is structured, that the default posture is that of a consumer. And you know, the social media structures itself this way to encourage this posture. The infinite scroll, for example, is an innovation that came about not at the very beginning of social media, but after they had been popular for a while. But they discovered the idea of the infinite scroll and how powerful an effect that has in keeping people consuming content on the platform. But when we are in the posture of a consumer, we are basically, by definition, not considering the interests of others ahead of ourselves. We are considering our own interests. We're engaging with the platform in a way that is just for our own benefit, our own interest, and failing to consider the interests of others.
And that's not to say that if you're listening and you normally engage with social media as a consumer, that because you're not considering the interests of others, you're desiring the harm of others or anything like that. But I think what we are saying is that, like with social media, like so many areas of the Christian life, if we're not thinking critically about how to actually execute the mission that Jesus has given us to make disciples and to care for others in each area of life that we engage with, then we are by nature kind of at a standstill until we make the intentional choice to move forward.
Yeah. And I think too, what I love about this concept of start with the person is you can start asking yourself questions like, how am I interacting with others? Am I treating them as people made in the image of God? Or am I treating them as a comment that I need to fight back against, or an ideology divorced from a person that I can just be rude and sarcastic and dismissive to? So how are we really interacting with others? And also, through our content, what or who are we worshiping? Are you worshiping yourself? Are you worshiping, I don't know, a celebrity or a particular, I don't know, you could worship anything, you know, or are you really worshiping Jesus? Is there a concerted, and I'm not saying that every single post necessarily is, here are the 4 points of the gospel linearly, but you know, are you doing things that are, that bring glory to the Lord? And I think that is so helpful because, like, honestly, I mean, Facebook in particular, everything is on fire on Facebook right now. And it can be just, you know, I need to have an opinion on every single thing. And it's set up in a way that really often pressures you to speak, maybe before you probably even should speak. And so I think that just feels very pressuring. And I have to have a stance on every single thing going on right now. And I certainly think you should have convictions that are informed by the Spirit and the Lord. And Paul tells Timothy to set an example in good speech. He tells them to correct his opponents, but to do it gently. So certainly there's a place for speaking. But I love that what we're talking about now is really shifting from a platform and positions and opinions to people.
Yes, it is fundamentally about people. And when you look at the wisdom principles of Proverbs, we see the warnings against rashness in speech, against pride that's in all of our hearts by nature. And it's easy to see social media and other forms of communication as neutral, that they are what we make of them, and we can use them either for good or for ill. And of course, that's true on a level. But if you compare, for instance, the communication principles of wisdom from Proverbs, if you look at that and how that plays out on social media, we should recognize that Facebook, as you mentioned, Sarah, and Twitter, and other platforms, those are not places that foster wise communication. They do not nurture godly patterns of how to interact with others. Instead, they encourage quick responses through the algorithms and other ways. They encourage factionalism and polarization of perspectives, because they will tell us things that we want to hear, which is in general is people who agree with us and shield us from perspectives that are different. So yes, that we have the opportunity to engage and to love others. But that metaphor of swimming upstream, I think, is important to remember, because if we're not aware of the fact that we are swimming upstream, I think we have to consider whether that's actually what we're doing. We may actually be going along with the current.
Yeah. I think once we understand what the obstacles are, whether that are the motives of the organizations that run these platforms, as we consider the factionalism or whatever that we would be entering into, I think we can also start to recognize the real opportunities that can be had on social media. And we've already talked about a lot of them, right? Like the ease of communication to lots of different people, the ability to connect with new people. And I think in a season like coronavirus, where we're all locked down at home, we are relying on social media in many ways more than ever for that social interaction and for connection with other people while we're all locked in our houses. I've heard a lot about the early 1900s, and they had a pandemic that went on back then where they also kind of quarantined in a similar way to what we're doing now. And it's just interesting to think back to what it must have been like back then to, you know, I couldn't connect with my grandfather a couple hours away in the same way that I can today through social media or through using my smartphone or whatever. And so as we consider the opportunities, what are some big ones that stand out to you, Brian, as you consider them?
I think one key opportunity is the ability to form new connections with people that we wouldn't otherwise have the opportunity to connect with. And as you mentioned, this season that we're in of quarantine or partial quarantine, travel restrictions, as we record this in early August, we're looking at an upcoming fall semester on campus with still a lot of uncertainty, even though we're only a week or two away from the beginning of the semester in some cases. It's not even clear the degree to which students are going to be on campus. And certainly we're in a situation where the opportunities of connecting with people that we're used to have been scaled back. And so something like social media at this moment is a particular opportunity and particularly valuable. So one example of this is in Disciple Makers, we've made an effort this summer to equip our campus staff in reaching out, especially to new students who will be beginning study on our campuses in the fall, but really to anybody who might want to connect with one of our fellowships on campus. So these are people, in reaching new people, you know, we don't have a relationship with them yet. But through social media, we have an opportunity to find people who are of common interest, one common interest being studying at a particular school. And we can actually start to form connections with them on social media even before we've ever met them in person.
Yeah. So the opportunities that social media provides can actually help us overcome some of the obstacles that we may be encountering in real life in mm-hmm. the present moment that we find ourselves where, yeah, we may not be able to have a big outreach event or have tables in the student union building in the same way we normally would, but we can try to find people on Instagram or Facebook or places like that and try to build those connections with them. And I think that's really helpful for us to consider. I think I often personally have thought of social media as a way to connect with people I already know. And honestly, this idea of doing outreach and evangelism on social media seems very new to me. And I think when we often think about what is outreach and evangelism on social media look like, we typically think of it as it looks like me just sharing cute Bible verse quotes on my Instagram or whatever so that my non-Christian friends will see them and somehow be converted to know Jesus. And that could happen. But I think what we're talking about is this idea of, yeah, what does it look like to engage or find a new person that's going to our campus and actually connect with them on an individual way, in a conversational way that would say, hey, like, would you be interested in coming to my Zoom Bible study this semester? That's just a completely different way than I think we've thought of engaging with social media before. And so as our campus staff are thinking about these things, we encourage those of you who are listening, who are student leaders in your fellowship to think about these things in the same way. And I think there's also an incredible opportunity that our students have to help our staff with this, right? So our staff, many of them are older. They haven't grown up with social media necessarily. And so there's a lot of creativity that can be had right now on these platforms. I know just yesterday when we were recording this, Instagram Reels came out. Like, who knows how to use that? So it's kind of Instagram's version of TikTok if you're not familiar. And if you're not familiar with TikTok, you're probably over the age of 30, and I totally understand. But yeah, there's a lot of things that are coming about that we can use to reach people. They're not intended to reach people with the gospel, but we can use our own creativity and ingenuity that God has given us and image him in our creativity to seek to use these things in order to reach people with the gospel, in order to make connections with new people that we haven't known before. And that's just super exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're making fun of older staff. I don't know how any of that works either, but I do think that one thing I think as an opportunity of social media is, well, it's both a warning and a privilege. But thinking about your posting content and your speaking, are you posting content and speaking in a way that will foster further conversations with the gospel, or that could actually be hurting your witness? One thing that I try to do in swimming upstream is lifestyle, to show some of the mess. Like, I think that we do have an opportunity as Christians to show some of the mess in our life. I'm not saying glory in it or look what a sinner I am, but I think there's opportunity to be real or be vulnerable or to talk about, and I'm usually skeptical about online evangelism. I often ask myself, like, does it ever work? Is it, what the heck? But, you know, I had a very low hanging fruit post a little while ago that was just a contrast between my happy, smiling professional headshot and a candid shot that the photographer took of me where I look very sad and very upset. And so I just took the opportunity to post them side by side and basically talk about this is how I really feel this way. But I have hope in Jesus. And if you want to have a conversation about whether there's meaning in life or not, come talk to me. That's a very low hanging fruit, like not that great thing to do. And somebody took me up on it. Somebody that I haven't talked to in a very long time, like called me and was like, can we talk about that? So the Lord can use these things. And I mean, I'm a skeptic who doesn't really know how to work any of it. And the Lord has graciously been proving me wrong. And so I do think that there are opportunities to make much of Jesus and not ourselves, or to consciously be real about things that are happening, or in our comments to make sure that we're communicating care for the person, offering a follow-up phone call, whether it's a positive or negative. Sometimes there's been one of my personal boundaries for myself, because I can get really sucked into the Facebook fight is not doing that and asking, hey, can we talk about this on the phone or over FaceTime? I really care about you. I care about this issue. Can we talk? And that one really helps me care for the person, because otherwise I can just get mean. Or also it sorts out who really wants to talk and who just wants to post stuff on social media. And it's just helpful to know that.
That's a great point, Sarah. And I really appreciate you pointing to the fact that sometimes the best way to care for people on social media is to guide the conversation off of social media. You know, to have a conversation that's in a more personal medium. Ideally, that would be face-to-face, but obviously, especially these days, that might not be possible. But even if it's a phone call, even if it's just voice on the old telephone system, that is a distinctly different environment where it's much more about understanding one another. You're not in that consumer posture that we mentioned earlier when you're talking to somebody one-on-one. And that is also, to connect to another idea, that is a way of swimming upstream, because obviously Facebook doesn't give you easy ways of suggesting to talk to somebody off of the platform, because that's not in their interest. But it may well be in that person's interest. And so that's one way that we can engage in a purposeful way going against the current.
Yeah. So using it to bring people into relationship, and hopefully, Lord willing, more importantly, into relationship with the Lord. So it's, I don't know. I'd be curious to know what you think about this, Brian. What I'm thinking is, in a way, it is an incarnational ministry. It's going where the people are, particularly this fall, and then trying to bring them to the Lord. I don't know. What do you think about that concept?
It's funny you mentioned the word incarnational, because when we're talking about communications media, especially digital media, there is this tendency to disembody people, to, as we talked about before, to dehumanize, but also just to forget that we are people, that the human condition is that we have physical bodies. And that we have many facets to our lives. And so in being incarnational, in the sense of incarnating Christ, of being the body of Christ for somebody, is absolutely a way we can minister to people. We also sometimes can minister to people on social media simply by breaking through the medium that separates us, and showing that there really is a real person that cares about them on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. Would you mind giving us an example of what that might look like?
I think Sarah's example, for one, was really good about putting a general message out, inviting conversation, and then actually having a conversation with someone who followed up with her. Mm-hmm. Another example might be, when you see someone who's posted about something that happened to them, for sure, commenting on that post, letting them know you care about them, that's good. Depending on the nature of it and the nature of your relationship, maybe you follow up with them, not just by commenting on the post, but by calling them or visiting them if you can do that, by taking it another step to get outside the patterns of how we relate on social media, to make it more personal, more real in that sense.
Yeah, that's helpful to kind of ground it for us in a real life situation. And I think often as we are scrolling endlessly through the hundreds or thousands of people that we may follow or be friends with on Facebook or whatever, I think there can be a tendency to kind of be overwhelmed by the sheer number of life events that are happening, people getting married, or even negative life events that have happened, whether it's a loved one passing away or finding out that they have some sort of disease or illness or something like that. There's just a number of things. And if we're going to be not engaging with social media in terms of being a consumer, but actually a participant, that actually then forces us to have to consider, for each of those people that we're going through, what is my relationship with this person? Is this just a niche acquaintance from high school that, I'm never going to talk to them again. I mean, it's fine to have those people and to, you know, follow them on social media and see what they're up to. But yeah, is this a closer friend to where something more personal from me, some sort of engagement outside of social media would really care for them, would really speak volumes to them? They may have 100 hearts on a post, but has someone really followed up with them in person? And could that be you who does that? And then also, in particular, for folks that you're following on social media who you know are not Christians or aren't following Jesus, yeah, what does it look like to follow up with them, especially with a heart of evangelism and wanting to see them come to know Christ? What could you do to push that relationship further that would communicate, wow, this person really cares about me, and they just saw that thing that I posted on Facebook, and that prompted them to actually give me a call, or to ask if they could pray for me, or something like that, in some sort of more personal way. And that those things are really what will care for people's hearts, not just giving them a like on their post.
And even to use that feed as a prayer list. Now, I'm not saying you should scroll endlessly. Endless scrolling is not good. If you need to set a timer for yourself, set a timer for yourself. I've definitely had to do that at times before where I've got 30 minutes on this thing and then it locks me out. I think it goes back to Caleb's self-control, that if it's owning us, that's not healthy. But if we're able to use it in a healthy way, then here's a very relevant, up-to-date prayer list of what's going on in people's lives. And if you're praying for somebody, you're going to, more likely than not, be thinking of them as a person. And so whether that they comment on something and it's scary and, uh-oh, is this going to be a disagreement? You know, to pray first and then move toward the person. That's just going to make a big difference in how the interaction may go or whatnot. And so to use it as a prayer list and as a way to know what's going on with people and absolutely break through and follow up and reach out as you are able and as is appropriate. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think a general principle it seems like we're kind of coming to is use social media. Don't let social media use you, in a sense, to where there are really, really great opportunities for us to minister to people on social media. But if we're engaging with it without considering all the implications, it will either be not as effective or counter-effective in terms of our engaging with it.
Yeah, being careful about not squandering opportunities and platforms that you do have through foolishness or irreverence or, you know, whatever, all those things that Timothy and Titus are warned against.
Absolutely. Well, this has been super helpful. Thanks so much, Brian, for coming on and talking to us about these things. And we hope that all of you listening at home have gotten some really clear, practical ways that you can engage with this. And I'll just plug again for those of you that are students. There is an incredible opportunity this fall to utilize social media to actually engage with new people that you've never met, freshmen, new students, transfers to your school, and engage with them, get them involved in the community that we have either on campus or online this semester, and to even help your campus staff to do that well in addition to those things. So thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you guys next time.
Thanks so much for joining us for this episode of the Disciple Makers podcast. We hope that this discussion was helpful for you as you consider how to move away from being just a consumer on social media and move towards using it to build God's kingdom on campus and around the world. As always, we have resources in the show notes for further learning on this topic, as well as a link to ways that you can connect us with students you may know that are starting school at a Disciple Makers campus this fall. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next week on the Disciple Makers podcast.